Hi, my name is Tracy Coral, and welcome to Indispensable People. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, pastor, and missionary, and I believe that every person should have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given, no matter their ability. Over 65 million Americans have a disability. That's 25% of the population. However, over 80% of them are not inside the walls of our church. Let's dive into those hard topics, biblical foundations, perceptions, and world-changing ideas. Hey everybody, my name is Tracy and I'm super excited to be with you to start off our first episode of Indispensable People. And I know that a lot of times when you listen to something, you want to know, why would I even listen to this person? And I want to offer you some information about my background, who I am, where I'm coming from, and why I am choosing to do this. And really, it is rooted in several places in my life. As a college student, I was looking for a job, and my soon-to-be mother-in-law at that time offered to connect me with another person in the disability community that was starting a new business, a provider for individuals with disabilities. And so I was a college student in need of funding. And so I said yes. I went to the interview and I was hired. And that started an 8-year process where I was a caregiver for two gentlemen who were brothers, lived in their own home, and I got to build a family-based relationship with them. I won't tell you all the crazy stories from that job, but let's say at one point they locked me out of the house. Another time I got a phone call saying, what did you do with my left sock? And then there are some really great stories where they were the first ones to hold my babies, and all of the Thanksgivings and Christmas and summer picnics that I spent with them. Needless to say, it was a fantastic job, and I loved every minute of it, even those times I was locked out of the house. Within that same company, they then hired me as an adult basic education teacher at their day program because they knew that I was going to school to be a teacher. And so I started that position, and I think I was in that position for about 6 months. And then they actually asked me to be the workshop director for the day program. And I did that for about a total of 8 years. That whole experience came with its own interesting stories. As a 23-year-old, I was leading a day program and learning how to be a boss, how to create a program that didn't really exist, and how to facilitate all of that while loving the people that I worked with as if they were a piece and part of my family. Now we can get into a little bit more of the personal part instead of my employment. As a mom, I told you I had three kids. At this point, Nathan is 17, Noah is 15, and Emma is 13. So we won't gauge the age of where I was and where I am because, well, nobody wants to talk about my age. So when Noah was younger, we had quite a few experiences where I really questioned his development. And I had a background in teaching, which studied some child development, and I knew there were some things that just were not on target. At that point, we had a pediatrician who just kept saying to me over and over and over again, don't compare your children. The first one's not going to be like the second one. The second one's not going to be like the third one. Just stop comparing them. Everything is fine. The problem was is that I really knew that everything wasn't fine. And so we ended up switching to a new doctor who said, you know what, whatever testing you want, let's do it. And we were able to do some CAT scans and some full testing through a child neurologist. And we came to find out at that point his diagnoses at that point was epilepsy, cognitive disorder, nonspecific, and ADHD. Here's the thing. I worked in the field. I saw what the future looked like for adults with disabilities, and I struggled to accept where my son was, but nowhere near as much as my husband. Prior to the testing, my husband really struggled to believe that there was anything to be concerned with. And he sided with the doctor that we originally went to and accepted his "don't compare, no child is the same" explanation. And it came down to one night I was in the basement and I was folding laundry and my husband was at the top of the steps and I was trying to convince him that we needed to do something to help our son. And it became a yelling match. And it really was, the words that came down to it were, "Dwayne, there is something wrong." And then my husband yelled back, "If there's something wrong, it's my fault." That was rooted back into the days where my husband was told that he was super hyper and all the stories about how they had to handle his things and that they couldn't give him red licorice or anything with red dye. And it was just a misconstrued understanding of who and what this came from and what we were battling. And that moment was a turning point for us as parents. I will never forget the day we walked into Cleveland Rainbow Babies to hear the results from the neurologist. And I can't even tell you all the emotions that we were having, excitement to have an answer, fear of what that can mean for the future, just so many things going through at the same time. But I looked at my husband on the way in and I said to him, "Noah is the same Noah that he was before and after we're given this diagnosis. No one defines Noah except for God." I share so much of that part of our life with you because it really shaped who and what we became from there. At one point, I was no longer working at the workshop. There were some things going on there that I just didn't agree with, and so I had chosen to leave. I spent some time at home with my kiddos for a while, and then I was hired by a local Christian school. And for 1 year, I was a preschool teacher. The next year, I worked in the special ed department. And the year after that, I began teaching first grade. But I spent quite a few years there. And then one Sunday, we had a missionary couple come to our church as a part of a ministry specific to people with disabilities. And as soon as they began to talk, I just was overwhelmed. I started to cry, and I really just missed being a part of that environment, working with people with disabilities. And so they had come asking for a team to serve at their summer camp. And I got super excited and I was just knew that I was supposed to be there. And then all fear started to creep in. And when I say fear, it's my fear of not being comfortable. I like my box. I like to stick in it and I like to do what's comfortable to me. And going away to another state with people I didn't know in a situation that I didn't fully understand was just a little scary for me. And so I had tried to come up with all of the excuses of how I couldn't or shouldn't participate. And then I brought it down to blame it on my kids because I said, "It's a whole week. Who's going to watch my kids? That's just not even possible." But there was a deadline that came along with that camp of when you had to register. And the day before the deadline, our youth pastor's wife called and Erica said, "What if I take the kids? What if I watch them for the week?" And I thought, she just took away every last bit of excuse that I had. And so off we went to serve at the summer getaway program. And I would say that that is where life took another turn. the week at this camp was probably one of the hardest weeks that I had experienced. I was assigned to an individual who had cerebral palsy and needed assistance to dress, eat, bathe, everything you can think of. However, she did not have an intellectual disability whatsoever and was actually getting ready to enroll in college for journalism. And at this point in time, she has completed that and is married. So it was a very different environment than I had ever worked in, because I had only ever worked with people with intellectual disabilities or intellectual and physical together. So it was just a very different experience. But oh my, did the Lord teach me so much through that experience and use that person to just teach me strength and resilience and just strong, strong faith. But I will tell you, during that week, there are two staff meetings at the camp. And during those staff meetings, the director of the ministry says to the group that, hey, this ministry needs to grow. People need to know about this. And if you feel like God is calling you to this ministry, then I want you to come and talk to me. And it immediately hit me. I was hiding in a corner during the staff meeting, sitting kind of back, just listening to everyone. But at that moment, I could not deny the calling that God had just placed on my life. I didn't speak of it. I just was overwhelmed with emotion and tears, and I was terrified of that call. And it really took about 6 months before I made that phone call to that director. It took me a lot of research and convincing of myself, hey, this isn't something you can do. You don't even have a biblical background. You didn't go to school for it. You are not a pastor. These things are just not possible. And so I thought, you know what? God isn't giving up. He's still pushing, and I'm going to make the call. But in that phone call, you know what's going to happen? He's going to say, you're not qualified, and we're going to hang up the phone, and then we're going to move on. Well, many of us know that's not usually how God works. And so I made that phone call and he said, okay, here's what you need to do to become part of the team. And in a short while after that, we were on the team. And so we became missionaries and began ministry specific to people with disabilities. We have come so far since that time where we were accepted as missionaries. But since then, we have begun our own summer camp program in Ohio under the umbrella of that ministry. We also do disability ministry through our local church and great support of our lead pastor. In addition to that, I have completed my master's degree and in family ministry with a concentration in special needs ministry. And we also work to train and equip the church to welcome, value, and support individuals with disabilities into the total life of their church. Here's what I know. Every person is made in the image of God. There is a plan and a purpose for their lives. John 9 tells us that it's not at the fault of anyone else, but so that the works of God might be displayed. Corinthians talks about the parts and the pieces of the body and how they work together. And it also says in 1 Corinthians 12:22 that those that seem the weakest are actually indispensable. God has a plan and a purpose for his indispensable people, and we get to be a part of that when we value, welcome, and include people with disabilities in the body of Christ. Because the gospel should be accessible to every person so that they have the opportunity to know Christ, to grow in Christ, and to serve him with the gifts that he has given. Do I have all the answers? Do I know everything there is to know about disabilities and special needs ministry? I can answer that easily and say I absolutely do not. But what I do know is I'm passionate about the church reaching out, serving families and people impacted by disabilities. And we get to do that through this platform, and I hope you'll join us in future podcasts. Next time, we're going to talk about why. Why is this important, right? We live in a world where people say, know your why. Well, we're going to talk about the why. Why do we serve people with disabilities? Why do we have programs? Why do we need to consider what the Bible says about people with disabilities? Let's make sure we have a strong why, because when we have a strong why, our how comes so much more easily.